Is that the black Santa Claus?
I want a Super Nintendo. Sega Genesis. Street Fighter 2.
It's 12:30 a.m. Christmas Eve. I'm out with the gangsters and thieves. Celebrated, posted up with eggnog, hand it up in my cup. Put Rudolph and Moses, Lil Bang, banging and coasting down the block. But be careful for the heart because it's posted. Some say to this day that Christmas ain't nothing.
Opening night, baby.
First guy in the building.
Stomp out the Jazz. Stomp out Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
Patient one of COVID, Rudy Gobert.
Super spreader, Rudy Gobert.
Super spreader.
Oh, man, like, what a dumb week for COVID and basketball, man. Like, and it, you know, obviously we had the Ducks who were supposed to play UCLA today. And then that gets canceled because the officials. So I saw, like, Matt Preem tweet that the officials tested positive. Like, all three of them. So if, you know, and, you know, people were criticizing the Pac-12 for not, you know, having backup refs, but I don't think that's actually a thing. I think they have like one guy who just kind of.
So I thought they roll in like four. You have like one backup.
And that's in case like somebody ruptures an Achilles on the court or something. It's not if the entire squad gets COVID. That's not a thing.
So I did read something on that about a half hour ago. And I guess it was one ref that tested positive, but all three of them worked the Portland State, Oregon State game last night in Corvallis.
Oh boy.
Contact tracing got them. And I'm trying to very soon, like even I think by the first of the year, all teams are getting referee teams. Are getting a fourth body in, but that wouldn't have helped.
No,
I'm going to say they have to be separate from the other ones.
What I was reading is that the Pac-12 was thinking if they sent refs in pods, that kind of would isolate them.
Yeah.
Which in theory, okay, but if they're doing games so close and one gets it, and I don't know what the remedy is there. Do you send four guys from four different states in? I mean, you know,
right.
I don't know.
These are questions that should have been asked like a month or two ago.
Right. Know? And I was watching, I think Ben Bolge, I don't know. He's a UCLA beat writer for the LA Times. He's just berating the Pac-12 for not having.
I did see that, yeah.
For not having three standby refs.
And again, that's not a thing. So
that's not a thing.
Yeah.
Especially.
Isn't there a shortage of referees as
well? Yes. Yes.
So it's like.
They're begging people to be officials right now.
Have you watched college basketball officials? They're not good.
No.
So you're asking the Pac-12 to have 18 subs from lower levels every night? I mean.
The Pac-12 officials, like, that's their side job from their normal job, which is, like, refereeing high school sports in Los Angeles.
I was seeing people be like, hey, just bring in high school referees or D3.
Right.
You think Dana
Altman – you want to do that?
You think Mick Cronin at UCLA – I don't know if you ever watched a Mick Cronin basketball game. You think he's respecting D3 or high school officials?
Jesus.
Oh, you
think those
Hurley?
Players
can you
in
see
the
Hurley?
Pac-12? Nah, they'd get their asses chewed up.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, what would be a worse look for the Pac-12? Like what we have now or shuffling out high school refs from the local area?
I think the answer lies in, if you remember, about what, 6-7 years ago now maybe, when the NFL's officials were on strike.
Yeah.
And they brought in college officials, and they were terrible.
Yes.
But there's a reason refs are college or high school or Pac-12 or calling Linfield.
Yeah.
The speed of the game, it's different.
I wonder how many referees, like high school refs, local dudes, are like out there right now thinking, hey, where do I put my name in to be one of these sub refs? This is my chance, baby. Get me in the Pac-12. I ref a fucking OSU Washington State game. Get my name out there. Then I'm in the league, baby.
Do the referees have like the best union in the world? Because it almost feels like they're terrible. You think they would try to bring in some new guys that might be better?
That would be the Major League Umpires Union. That would be the best.
Oh, well.
Consistently terrible.
You see the same guys. You've seen the same guys calling doing the Pac-12 games, and they are awful.
Yeah. Who cares how good the union is? There's nobody else. Like, nobody else wants to do that job.
The people would do it, but I don't think you can't get rid of these guys.
Yeah. You're going to get Tony Fajardo to go ref some basketball?
Fajardo means business, man. Don't get it twisted.
I called many a high school football game and basketball game that was refereed by Tony Fajardo.
I do remember going down, I think it was at Silky. Springfield versus someone from Salem.
Whoever.
Southridge, or not Southridge, Silverton, sure. I think.
Yeah.
And I went down to get, you know, a couple pregame sound bites, and Fajardo told me my pants looked like I took a shit in them. And I looked, not knowing who the hell said it, and it was Fajardo, and he was right, because the field was muddy as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. That fucker.
That's awesome.
But I wanted to give him credit for being like, how do you remember me? Like, 12 years later, after just, you've seen me meander through, like, rec league basketball.
Yeah.
You see me on a silky field, and you're like, hey, just shit your pants?
After having a conversation for like a decade, he drops that. He definitely didn't recognize me any of the times I went up and talked to him. So
really?
Well, I mean, I wasn't into baseball like you guys were. I played I played that 1 year. Like, for those people who don't know who the hell we're talking about, he's the baseball coach at South Eugene. And then since then has become like a regular official in the Eugene Springfield area for high school sports. So and so we would go, King and I, like, it was 1 year you did that?
Yeah.
The 1 year you joined me for, like, I used to broadcast high school sports. 1 year you joined me as my color guy. And, like, part of the duties were to go down on the field and get the referees' names so we could say them during the games. And that's the end of that. It's the end of the story. So they're talking about making up the UCLA-Oregon game in March. Or I guess that dude you were talking about mentioned that as, like, the only possible makeup date for it. So, whatever. It's a bad look because this is an isolated game. Like, nobody else is playing today. It's right next to Christmas. Like, Altman just got done talking about, you know, having to make a decision about whether or not he's keeping his kids, like, in town or letting them go home. That kind of stuff. And then literally the officials, not even one of the teams, the officials are the thing that keeps the, you know, nationally televised solo game off the schedule now. And so now everybody's just going home. And it's not a good look. I mean, you know, fuck, it's, again, this is one of those situations where, you know, the season probably shouldn't be being played yet. But it is what it is, and the Pac-12, like, for, you know, however this keeps happening, just keeps looking the fool, man, no matter what.
Well, it's definitely not just the Pac-12. I mean,
As we've seen with Haskins and James Harden this week, like, I was just reading the Harden story. I didn't even notice that until, like, 10 minutes ago.
No, in fairness to James Harden,
yeah,
he's doing that on purpose.
Yeah.
So he can get traded. Well, Haskins just a dumbass.
So here's my question about Harden, though, because he tested negative like 3 days in a row. And, you know, the way testing works, you know, you have to wait that week or whatever before you get tested because it might not actually show up yet. until those 7 days. So, you know, it's possible he could still have it, which is what the league is thinking. But, you know, him testing positive those, like, 3 days in a row, the league's, like, made him unavailable based just simply on him going to a place and being seen without a mask on. And so this is the NBA telling James Harden, we have say over what you do in your personal life.
Yeah, they're being punitive. Which yeah.
So there's a lot of questions there. And I don't think they're wrong. Like,
no,
it's their bottom line. He's one of their top players. They should have say over that. But how many legal things come into this? Like, that's not in the fucking collective bargaining agreement. So
are you sure?
I don't know.
Because see, I don't know.
They can find something in there.
I guess I would say that it probably is to some degree or adjacent, because the players union unilaterally kicked the idea of another bubble away.
Yeah.
Like, no, not a chance.
Too much time.
Which I don't blame them. That, yeah. I mean, a 9-10 month bubble is kind of ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
But, so I'm wondering if when they came back, if the NBA put in kind of these punitive measures where they're like sort of Goodellian, where they're like, if we just see you at a club with no mask and there's, you know, whatever, no, we're finding you, we're sitting you out, we're just doing whatever. And hopefully it's Machiavellian enough that players stop. Yeah. But like I said earlier, Harden's doing it on purpose. I mean,
is he fine if he's wearing a mask in the strip club with 100 people? I mean, are we talking about this?
I think I read today that the NBA players cannot be seen in a bar club situation with more than 15 people.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
Which means you can't be seen in a bar or a club.
Huh? You rent out a strip club and have it be like 10 dancers and
five
people. That's what
they could figure that. They could do some loopholes.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure someone will.
Number.
Oh, yeah.
God. Well, this is such a shit show, man. I do love what the Washington football team did with Haskins, though. Like, their punishment was he's no longer a captain. By the way, I thought that was done when you made Alex Smith the starting quarterback. Was that?
I thought that was done when they benched him for who the second string quarterback was that replaced him. Because Smith was third string, and then the guy got hurt, so Smith had to come in.
Oh.
I'm trying to remember who the guy was. It was a second string guy. I can't remember now, but
why would we know that information?
Right. He played a game and change.
Yeah. Well, I guess we might as well stick with basketball. Blazers out to a 10-4 lead over Utah, according to the Rip City, baby.
Bow, 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 bow.
So Duck basketball, like, other than not being able to play UCLA, found out that Dante's done for the year, which sucks. I saw that play happen, and I was like, ooh, he's a really tall person, and that looks like a knee, so that's probably not going to be good. And, you know, sure enough, I think it was his ACL, right?
Correct.
Yeah, ACL, and so he's done for the year, and that hurts, because he was pretty good against really bad teams. So, you know, and he's the only
kind of true size.
He's a big, yeah. He's like the only actual big on their roster.
So I can't wait till Richardson comes back, and then the Dana just throws five, like, 6'6" guys at you.
Yeah. Might as well. You got to embrace it. I don't know. So it's still too early for me to fully care about Oregon basketball on the men's side. So, you know, ask me again in 2021.
I mean, the good news, I mean, the only good thing for the Ducks is they don't have to play UCLA without Will Richardson.
Yeah.
Because now this game gets rescheduled. He should be back here in a couple weeks, I think, is the timetable.
Mm-hmm. This is true. You guys watch Clippers Lakers yesterday?
It was on. I had it on, but yeah. Not really.
Bad start to the dynasty, guys.
I this is going to be a common theme for the whole year for the Lakers. They don't give a shit till they get to the playoffs.
Yeah. All they got to do is make the playoffs. It doesn't matter who they play in the playoffs because they're going to beat them anyways.
Yeah, they just have to be a top three seed. That's all that matters.
Do you guys think the Nets are legit?
I'm on record. I'm not buying into any team with Kyrie. So
yeah, it's really.
But any team with Durant is obviously instantly a good team.
Yeah, Kyrie and Durant too. Do you see Kyrie like walking around the court with Sage? That was interesting.
That's why I don't buy into Kyrie.
Like the herb.
Yeah, sage. No, like burning sage around the basketball court. Yeah. Yeah, like in the little circle thing, like with the, yeah. Yes, he's your hippie aunt, Kyrie Irving is.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. He's your hippie aunt who reads all of the stories she sees on, like, KEZI's website and believes, like, three-fourths of them. And
Kyrie is your hippie Aunt Miriam who always Miriam wants to read tarot cards during holiday get-togethers. And everyone's like, nah, Miriam, we're good. Yeah. We're good, Auntie.
Everybody together at the table, let's all hold hands.
We're fine.
And let's pray to Gaia. Where the fuck Gaia is. Oh, man.
Who she is, Braga. Come on now.
Right.
Yeah.
But I said, or
they are.
Yeah, right. They, yeah. Them.
Get your pronouns right.
I said, whoever the fuck Gaia is. What are we talking about?
Whoever the fuck he is.
I think you said he. Rewind it.
Yeah. Right.
That's going to be a correction.
Back. Rewind the tape. By the way, do you have corrections?
I do. Okay. I have corrections.
Yeah.
Go Ducks with an X and a Z. 1742. Again, I fucking see you when I hear you.
Yeah.
I'll get to it later.
Yeah. Thanks for at mentioning him though. It's great. I appreciate it for you and for the rest of the guys. Like, as a podcast, we appreciate you.
I mean, I think we had some important poop talk in the corrections.
Okay. We have a possible future guest who wants to come on and talk about his multiple poop stories.
I think at Jeter Fist Pump. I don't know that guy. Got no range. I know that.
Apt name for poop stories.
I think he's a coward. He doesn't want. He's all muscle, Twitter muscle, talking about his poops, but he won't come on here and tell us.
That's a shame.
Shame.
We should. One of us should tweet the Kobe Bryant soft meat or a GIF at him.
Yeah, you hear that? At Jeter Fist Pump, we're coming for you.
Yeah, gunning for you, pal. All right, so this is this is going to come out a couple days before Christmas, and so we have a couple of Christmas themed activities today. So we are doing. So our list is what we were talking about earlier, right?
But before we get to the Christmas stuff,
you never confirmed.
I don't confirm or deny anything that can be screenshotted. that's a little trick.
That includes list topics, apparently.
Are we just like so used to beating USC and winning Pac-12 championships, so we just don't care?
No, we're going to get to that. I was just mentioning what was coming up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, so, because we need to confirm before we actually get to the list segment that our list is actually going to be what we were talking about it being.
Sure, that's a list.
Okay, we'll do that list. All right, so you're so interested in talking about USC, fucking big Trojan fan over here.
My boy Keaton, you know? He had a very slow start to the game.
Slovis, in my opinion, was throwing the game. Like, he was paid to lose to Oregon. Because those are some of the worst throws and decisions I have ever seen. And he's
Duck has something to say about those.
I'm saying, like, but he's generally, like, he'll make dumb throws. He's a college kid, whatever. But generally, Slovis is, like, pretty good. Like, he doesn't make those kind of throws. And, like, the whole first half, he was garbage. Like, just terrible. Like, the Oregon kind of had to, like, find a way to make the game close. Which, of course, they did because it's 2020 Oregon. But he was, like, the quarterback play on both sides was just as bad as we've ever seen an Oregon and USC game.
Are you saying Tyler Shuck, Pac-12 champion quarterback,
best passer?
Tyler Shuck.
Yeah.
Fun fact, Tyler Shuck has won as many Pac-12 titles as Marcus Mariota. In your face. Heisman that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mariota couldn't win a big game.
You know, I do like the fact that Wilner pointed out this week that all Pac-12 teams came out and Shuck wasn't even on any of the lists. And then Washington's quarterback was honorable mention ahead of him. Dylan Morris, like, his numbers were so bad this year.
Dylan Morris played four games and had four touchdowns and three interceptions.
I mean, at some point, the numbers have to come into play, right?
Yes. Yeah. Tyler Shuck wasn't great, but I think he's at like 14-5, which is a lot different than 4-3.
It really is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, man. But is the Pac-12 wrong?
I mean, Slovis should be number one. He was better all year. I know was shitty on Friday. He should be number one, which he was.
Yeah.
You're going to have a hard time selling me on someone over Shuck, and that's not even me saying Shuck was great.
No, it's because the entire conference was really bad at quarterback.
Yeah. Some teams played three games. Some teams played six.
Yeah.
Thompson Robinson had a pretty decent season, didn't he?
When he played.
I mean, at least number-wise, he had to throw a bunch of touchdowns. UCLA scored a bunch of points.
Yeah. They also leaned on their running back a lot this year. So, you know.
Well, if only Shuck could be able to lean on his running back, so, I mean.
Would be nice, right?
I just very much enjoyed over the weekend watching Oregon Twitter devour themselves on Tyler Shuck. And people who, you know, work for various recruiting sites be like, you know what? After reviewing the tape, Tyler Shuck played well. You want to know who I'm blaming this on? Joe Moorhead.
Whoa. No, they didn't.
Yes.
That is the
They were defending a guy who went 8 of 15 for 91 yards. Two touchdowns, one interception, and a second one that should have been picked would have given SC the win, and a 28.1 QBR. And may I remind you that 17 of those 91 yards and one of those touchdowns was a pass to DJ Johnson that he just kind of shot put it to him 3 yards in the air.
From 3 feet away from him.
And if you watch the replay, he wasn't confident when he did it.
No.
Well, let's put it this way. Let's say alternate universe, Arroyo doesn't get the job. He's still our offensive coordinator.
Oh, God.
How bad is Shuck's numbers in season this year without Moorhead?
He's been benched already.
He would have been benched like 2 weeks in, right?
Yeah.
His numbers are a pure reflection of Moorhead's offense.
Yes, yes.
As
any person with a rational mind will tell you, like 100%.
Right, we all agree on that. This is all his numbers are Moorhead plays, a lot of wheel routes, a lot of, you know, easy passes that he schemes in to get the yards.
Like Moorhead creating matchups. That's why Travis Dye, like, led the team in receiving this year. is because he got matched up on linebackers all season long and ran fast, and Chuck couldn't – he basically, like, would have to be the worst quarterback to ever – he'd have to be Braxton Burmeister to throw an incomplete pass, basically.
Like I said, does Anthony Brown have the same stats as Chuck? Are his numbers
– Oh, no, least, I don't think he misses those wide-open plays that Chuck missed in, like, the Cal game, the Oregon State game – like plays that where they're there for scores and Chuck just throws it 20 yards over the guy's head for no reason because he's not under pressure. I think Brown makes those plays. It's because he has made those plays a lot because he's played 4 fucking years. By the way, was that just, you know, trotting out dollars and Brown like in the last game? Is that just like trolling? Like, is that, like, the coaches being like, by the way, we've had these guys, like, all season. They're better than the other guys who have been playing. And, you know, we've seen it in practice all year. But we just wanted to fuck with you guys because it's a stupid season.
It seems like they made a pure package for Brown. Clear. Like, he only had 5 or 6 plays in his little package to run. And he got 2 touchdowns out of it.
It was pretty telling that they decided to trot out one of those packages at the end of the game. Like the last series that Oregon had where they needed to run out the clock and stuff, that was interesting.
Well, it shows you how much faith they had in Chuck to get a first down.
0.
I mean, you take out that muffed snap and hand off that Brown hat. He did get a first down. Yeah. I don't think Chuck would have got a first down there.
Well, he got like 9 yards, then
Lucio
got
the and then one. Got like one. Yeah, the first play he got 9 yards.
My thing with dollars, though, is – and this is – so Troy Dye has been really good, like, third down, situational back, killing the seams in the pass game, right?
Yeah.
I am not discrediting that one bit.
That's his game, though. He's the third down back, situational
but
back.
When Sean Dollars had the ball and was running downfield, he looked – he just optically looks like – the best running back, and that's unfair. I'm grading posture, knee length, you know, whatever. It's dumb. But when he ran, I was like, "Whoa, that guy looks like a running back."
Yeah.
And I'm not waiting for him to trip on his ankles like number 7.
Yeah. And you know, it is unfair because Verdell has been the guy for Oregon for a couple years. And he has been banged up this year.
He's banged up every year. What are you talking about?
That is also true.
CJ Verdell leaving at halftime with a stinger is the sun rises from the east.
Yeah.
Sorry, I know he's a college kid. I shouldn't be rude, but
layman football fan, just eye testing dollars to them. He looks like he could break a touchdown, you know, with just, you know, one hole opening up for him.
And he had like a 10-yard gain he had. It wasn't his longest, but it might have been his second one. If that, Slava, he's killing people. I can't remember his name, though.
You mean the safety, number 15?
No, the lineman for Oregon, Amuave.
I know who you're talking about.
He runs to the guy, and he does block him, sort of, but he engages him when he could have just said, "You're smaller than me, and I'm going to kill you." Yeah, and if he does, there is no one – I mean, Dollars is gone for like a 65-yard touchdown.
Yeah. By the way, that safety for USC, he is not as good as people were saying he is. He did not have a good game against Oregon. He didn't. He missed a lot of plays. Like the touchdown to Red, like he flat out whiffed. Like he can easily tackle Red inside the 5 easily, but he just like he whiffs on a guy who's like 160 pounds.
Would
like,
you? Take him as a starter at Oregon? At safety?
Yeah. Yes, I would. What's your point?
I'm just saying he's an All-American for a reason.
I'll take you as a starter at safety. over what they currently have. Over
Nick. But I was thinking about it.
Ooh, what was that? What was that I saw on Twitter? Nick with it. I like that. I like that.
But between Hufunga from Corvallis,
yeah, that kid,
that Tui Pualotu guy, SC from I think Salem,
yeah, I think? Yeah, put a fence up,
and then is it Owa Odigizua at UCLA?
Yeah,
three front seven guys, yeah, that were first team Pac-12.
That was a quality joke by Helfrich in the broadcast, by the way.
That was so good.
They asked him how he left Corvallis, and he's like, well, that's why I'm up here with you.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Helfrich wasn't bad, man. I've heard about that this season. I just haven't watched any games before that one. And, you know, he's not bad. He was always, like, back in the media stuff I used to do with him, like, he was always like that. Like, making little quips, like, he's not funny, but he's, you know, entertaining, I guess, would be the word. I don't even know. He's not like an over-the-top funny person, charismatic guy like Chip Kelly is. But he's good enough to where, like, and he's just a super nice guy. And so he's hard to hate, you know? Like, you can hate him because he drove Oregon's program into the ground after going to the national title, but... As in terms of him being a dude, he's awesome. Why wouldn't he be good?
You think Helfrich's phone is getting blown up at all for any of these job openings?
No,
he's kind
of. You don't think old Boise failed. State comes a calling?
He's kind of failed at his last couple of gigs, hasn't he? Like Bears offensive coordinator and Oregon.
The Bears. What are you supposed to do? Anyone would fail in that with those players they had. They had no receivers for about a decade.
Yeah. There's no quarterback.
And they had no quarterback.
It would also be nice to have a decent quarterback. Hot take, man. Not like Mitch Trubisky.
But at least for the Duck game, I saw some things out of that defense that were somewhat promising, at least going forward in the future. I mean, Jamal Hill had a hell of a game.
He really did. Like, all around, beyond, the interceptions, like, he was really good, man. All over the place.
SC's O-line, like, every play.
Thibodeau, that might be one of the best defensive lineman games we've ever seen, man.
Like he officially had 12 pressures.
That's incredible.
12.
Incredible.
And not from like godocs.com. Like,
so he threw like, you know, Slovis threw like 50 passes in the game. So, you know, but still, we're talking about 12 out of 50 that he's getting pressured by one guy on. Like, that's incredible. Not to mention the stuff he's done in the run game all season and in that game as well. Like, you know, him finally getting a couple of sacks, like, really felt good to see. Because he's earned it, man. He has been, like, balling out all year and had, like, no numbers to show for it. And so, you know, him getting Player of the Game award, like, it's great.
Did you guys notice how much less they did that dumb – the D-line did that dumb thing where they line up
– yard off the ball.
Or just have Scott and Thibodeau floating off the line for no reason? I mean, they went right up and just bang, bang, bang.
Shocker how that kind of worked, didn't it?
And I know they're going to say that's just a matchup thing because they have to say it.
It, you know, it kind of is too, just because of how USC works. But
sure, but what, like, the whole dumb nickel thing they were doing with Kayvon?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why you're ever taking him and putting him 4 yards, you know, outside to? It's overthinking it. Like, do I think he could cover a tight end or a slot guy? Absolutely. But that's not what Phil Knight's paying him to do.
There's a reason why you line him up on the edge. It's so the tackle and the quarterback has to, like, the tackle and the quarterback has to at least think that he's going to come after him. You could drop him back in coverage, but when you don't put him right on the line like that, it takes what he represents at least just completely out of it.
He needs to get upfield. He's a disruptor.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I never understand why, you know, like you said, King, like, why teams, and they do it in the NFL too. Like they try to do that with Khalil Mack. It's like, why do you turn one of the best pass rushers in the conference, in the league, whatever, why you try to turn that person into an outside linebacker? Like, I know you have different defenses, 3-4, whatever, but his strength is getting in the backfield and disrupting shit. So let him do it every play. Like, whether it's a pass, whether it's a run, whatever. Why are you playing against your best defender's strengths? It doesn't make sense.
It's like, well, RIP old Kevin Green. There was no way Kevin Green was going to be, like, lining up, you know, dropping back like that.
Kevin Green and Greg Lloyd.
You know what you did? Yeah, you know what you do? You fucking get him in the ground, and you say, go get who has the ball.
Can we talk about Greg Lloyd for just 1 second?
Sure.
And this might just be stupid memory that I just have.
Hot takes straight out of the 90s, baby. Let's go.
Is Greg Lloyd the last man to wear a middle school plastic face mask? Like, go look at it. I'm pretty sure he wore – wasn't that hard metal wiring. It was plastic. And I think he had the bar that went right between the eyes too. I could be misremembering, but I don't know.
I'm looking it up. Yeah, he's got the really big one. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's like it's the huge face mask, like huge, and it's got the bar going right down the middle. He might be.
And that's a middle school face mask. That's metal. That is plastic.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's glorious.
It's so big.
It looks like it has like an extra rung also on there. It's like.
It goes out so far. Yeah.
Holy hell.
That looks like the, you know, a baseball player gets drilled in the face and they wear like a cage, you know, or like softball players, they have like that cage helmet that they wear. That's kind of what it looks like.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, the story I'm seeing this picture on is from 2018 when he was arrested for allegedly pulling a gun on his wife. Mm. Good stuff.
So we had a little bit of a he was a James Harrison before James Harrison.
Right. Man, that's a talk about a legacy. Steelers linebackers, let's go. So are we excited about the PlayStation Fiesta Bowl?
Not really.
Which, by the way, the players got PS5s, right?
Yeah. Best gift at a bowl game ever.
How many parents for Duck players are like about to come up on an extra grand selling the PlayStation they got their kids on Facebook Marketplace or some shit. Man, that's legit. Save your receipts. Yeah, right? It's a little different going from getting like 10 bags of chips to a PlayStation 5.
Here's some queso.
Right? Here's some queso dip in a
Fiesta Bowl is for all the Tostitos.
Right? Oh, man. All the players getting paraded through, like, media week. Look, guys, we got a track jacket and a bag of chips. Woohoo!
You think they could at least get one of those old, like, sombreros made of chips with the cheese dip, like, hauling out the top? There you go. There's something to get a player.
I would legitimately be happy about that. I don't know about you guys.
Sitting there in the presser, you know, just drink.
Guacamole on one side, cheese on the other. Yes, please. But then, no, that wouldn't work because then you'd have to, like, dip on one side, then switch to the other to get both on the chip. Nah. We got to rethink our sombrero.
How about old Tostitos throw some money our way and we'll fucking hash this out.
Yeah, we'll do the work for you guys.
No, but right,
what else we got? So we've been hearing Avalos possibly going to Boise. Boise said he's looking for a coach because Auburn hired theirs.
Auburn Panic hired?
Yes.
Their coach? Yeah.
By the way, why are you getting him? Why aren't you getting the coach from San Jose State? San Jose City, my bad. I mean, they just dominated Boise. So what are you thinking? Obviously they're not because they're Auburn.
No, but I mean, are you guys upset if Avalos leaves?
That's I mean, it's not great.
That's a tough question. Cause
I mean, do you think he was the lead recruiter on all these like the two linebackers we got? And I mean, are we going to hurt more out of recruiting front than say his you know game his schemes?
Yeah, he's more of a scheme guy than a recruiting guy. I could be wrong.
I don't know. Because, you know, the defense was good last year. And so, you know, this year in a dumb COVID year, who the hell knows? Like, obviously they weren't good, but they were also missing, you know, a starting corner and two starting safeties. So, I don't know. And then, you know, Flo got injured in week one. So, who knows?
I mean, like I said, doesn't help when your entire secondary leaves.
Yeah. So I think that the better question I guess would be is would you be confident in Cristobal to hire someone better if Avalos left?
Well, clearly Cristobal is great at hiring coordinators.
And I think the answer is clearly yes. Yeah. Like his track record in hiring coaches is insane.
I mean, how the fuck he got Moorhead? I mean, and Avalos in the first place to get him. I mean, that was.
I feel like Moorhead could be a head coach. Like, could have been a head coach coming into this year.
He was a head coach. He wasn't even that bad as a head coach.
No, at like a lower level school, he could have been a head coach somewhere, like this year, if he wanted to be. And then you're able to talk him into being your offensive coordinator. It's fantastic.
Could have been maybe one of those where maybe he preferred to be a coordinator. A lot easier to be just deal with the offense instead of having to deal with an entire team.
Get paid.
You get paid pretty good still.
Best facilities in the – man, he tweeted a Tupac gif the other day, dude. I fucking love Moorhead.
Was it Moorhead? I think it was Moorhead. Wasn't someone saying that Moorhead's going to leave because of how much Antifa we have here? And, I thought I saw someone tweet that.
It was the Michigan Wolverines fan board.
Yeah.
They were wondering if he would leave because he's afraid of Antifa.
Yeah.
Lighting his house on fire.
I don't think Moorhead's afraid of anybody.
Except for Cal.
Well, except for...
Because they got a lot of Antifa.
Except for his starting quarterback sometimes, because the starting quarterback makes him look like a fool. Makes us question him, which is wrong.
I mean, are you guys...
So, by the way, Brown comes back next year, right? Like, he has an option to, right?
If he wants to.
So I don't think
obviously they're bringing in Ty Thompson and, you know, that Butterfield kid is still there. Shuck.
So, I was going to say, what's the over-under on, we'll go with months before we hear news that Shuck is transferring.
I would say the spring or right after the spring, because I think we're going to find out like halfway through spring ball that somebody has surpassed him in the quarterback room, and that will cause him to transfer immediately. And watch, he's probably going to go somewhere else and fucking flourish. But, you know, somewhere else like Wyoming or something. And
be murder
I was thinking Montana State. Yeah. But, okay, close.
I like Montana State. I'd take Montana over Montana State myself, but go Grizzlies.
More of a Bobcat than a Grizz, but okay.
Hey, that's okay.
Shout out to Bozeman.
No, but do you guys, you know, what's your percentage?
Shout out Great Falls.
What's your percentage that you guys think Avalos leaves? Like 80?
I
don't see why he would stay here if he get
the offer to him.
If they offer to him, he's gone. Yeah, right?
He's gone.
But the hard thing is, you know, I didn't know this until a little bit ago, but I mean, Boise doesn't even have an athletic director, so.
Do they have to buy? So who fired him? I guess he got hired somewhere else. Never mind. Yeah, that's interesting.
But you would think you would have to hire an athletic director before you could hire a coach.
Yeah, I mean, a school president could always hire a head coach, but that's not the best.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And in the article I was reading is that before Harsin left, the Boise was saying they weren't going to hire their AD until March. Obviously, that's being sped up, but it just seems like a weird – it doesn't seem like an ideal situation at the moment. And who knows? They could hire someone great and then
– couldn't have happened to a finer program, I got to say. Just – So happy for Boise City.
I thought I saw it might have been a Boise State fan thinking that they're going to get Wilcox.
Yeah, I tweeted that earlier. So I saw that a fan said they were gunning for Wilcox, and I was like, I laughed, but then I thought, you know, I'm not actually sure that Cal is a better job than Boise. Because Boise is an easier job. So like if you can be successful at Cal, then it's a better job. But nobody is successful at Cal. And winning the Pac-12 North is basically impossible if you're Cal. Like it's too much to overcome. Like Oregon and Washington. Like maybe you're gonna beat one of them in a year. You're not gonna beat both.
And Stanford.
And Stanford, you know, and Washington
State every now
Washington
and then.
Washington State every now and then, exactly. And so it's a hard division to win, let alone the conference. And so, you know, best case scenario for Cal is you get above 500 and you make a lower level bowl. Because if you're above 500 in the Pac-12, you're going to make a lower level bowl. You just are, because there's a shit ton of bowls. But if you're Boise, you know, you're going to win 10 games every year, you know, because you're playing in a conference with like two good teams maybe here and there. So you already have brand name recognition. So like recruiting, you know, those, you're going to get a few 4-star kids here and there just because you play in the blue turf, just because you're Boise City and you have history.
The counterpoint, though, is that, I mean, no shit. You're not going to win at Cal as much as you do at Boise.
We should say, by the way, Wilcox is not leaving Cal for Boise City. Absolutely.
But
yeah.
If you're at Cal and you do win the North, like Tennessee and Auburn are throwing $8 million at you.
Yeah.
Where you're at Boise, man, you got to win that like 4 years in a row before.
If you're Boise, you can get hired at Auburn.
Yeah.
And they weren't even
– he was like the 19th choice in fairness.
They just lost to San Jose City, man. I'm saying they did not have a great COVID year for their standards, you know. So I don't know. Again, Wilcox is not going anywhere.
No, he's not going.
Unless he gets fired or the NFL calls.
Unless he's tired of a $7,000 a month mortgage in the Bay Area.
Yeah, right. You know. And not being able to leave your house.
I'm sure he's fine. He grew up in Junction City. He's fine.
Yeah, right? Holy shit. I just thought about that for the first time. Like, where he came from to where he is now. Like, going from Junction City to Berkeley. Like, it could not be different.
Love the difference between the two brothers where Justin is this buttoned-up, boring guy.
Yeah.
And Josh is probably right now watching like WWF replays from 1994, drinking a Natural Light and doing a bump of coke.
He's in a swimming pool of oil in his living room, like doing cocaine and watching backyard wrestling VHSs,
but doing it responsibly.
Oh yeah.
Yes. Cool. Yes. Yes. Remember, kids, do cocaine responsibly.
They're just different people.
Yeah, they are. I loved Josh Wilcox, by the way. Like, he was my dude. I loved him. Like, from those duck teams in the 90s, he was my guy because I played tight end. And so I remember first football team I was on in middle school, I got number 90 just because of him.
I loved when Josh did like CSN, NW, you know, those shows for a couple of years.
He had a radio show, didn't he?
And and these other people like Nigel Burton and Aaron Fentress were very polished. Yeah. And Wilcox just came in and blowtorched them. Yeah. Hot take, football guy, yeah. Cocaine, Copenhagen, let's go.
Miss marketing opportunity, by the way, getting them on like cases of Natty Light. It's a good point. Like the radio sales team or the sales teams for whatever the hell Comcast Sports. It's like, shit, that's easy. Copenhagen, I know we've never talked before, but man, I got something for you. I would like to present to you the number of Republicans who live in the state of Oregon and splice them up next to the listenership for this program. Do you like money, Copenhagen? Let's get you some. All right, do we have anything else, man?
I don't think so.
Yeah, should we get to Christmas stuff?
Yeah.
I was gonna spread them out a little bit, but fuck it, let's just do them all at the same time. All right, so the list, do you want to present it?
I want you to present the list.
I will present the list. Okay. So our list this year, it being, you know, I kind of wanted a theme with the list. And, you know, we're going to give Ski a chance to actually win some trivia later, too.
Yeah, so it's been a while.
It's going to be Christmas movies. And so we are going to go with our top three Christmas movies. Sound good?
You know, I was just thinking about it.
Okay.
We like to keep it, you know, authentic, you know, real.
Keep it 100? Is that what the kids are still saying?
Keep it at 100.
Okay.
I'm going to call an audible on this top three.
Okay.
Instead of the top Christmas movies,
yep.
In honor of Christmas, which is 2 days away.
Sure.
Because this could be spicy. This could fracture families. This could end the podcast.
I like it. Let's get banned by Apple Podcasts here. Let's go.
Your top three. And remember, Santa's coming down that chimney in like 36 hours.
Yep.
Your top three favorite holidays.
If you listen to Fauci, Santa's still okay. Yeah. Which I don't. As we know, the Republican right-wing podcast that this is, we do not subscribe to anything Fauci says. So let's make that abundantly clear.
So what was the list? Top three what?
Top three favorite holidays.
Oh.
Three holidays. That's like the easiest list ever.
Is it? I don't know.
Yeah. You go with the big three, don't you?
Huh?
You go with the big three, don't you?
I don't know. Do you?
Well, like Christmas, Thanksgiving, Halloween. Like it's easy. That's an easy list.
Okay, well, I don't watch Christmas movies, so you guys just go ahead. Home Alone and Santa Claus. I'm going to go to the bathroom.
Name one other one before you go. Christ,
RoboCop.
Literally walks waiting under the bathroom. There is no chance he doesn't watch Christmas movies. There's no chance.
Please. There's a guarantee you've seen Christmas movies.
We should name.
Does not watch Christmas movies.
We should name his top three for him.
Oh, I'll do that. I got plenty of them.
The Grinch is number one.
The Grinch is number one.
All right, I'll make his number three. All right, King's number three favorite Christmas movie is Ernest Saves Christmas. I guarantee he's a big Ernest P. Worrell fan, so.
Obviously.
Yeah.
That's perfect. Oh, God. All right, we have already combined to name your number three and your number one, King.
Okay, what are they?
That's a quick bathroom trip, by the way. So you, by the way, speaking of which, you will be required to name your number two. So we'll leave that up to you here soon. All right, what's your three, Steve?
All right, My number three will be Christmas Vacation.
I like it.
Christmas with the Griswolds, can't go wrong.
It's not on my list. It's not on my list. I like it. It's serviceable. It's a serviceable Christmas movie for me.
That's the movie with the squirrel, right? In the tree? And the guy who talked to the moose in the other movie?
Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Hey, wow, I've got symmetry. Wow.
I'm confused.
Isn't there a squirrel in the Christmas tree?
I don't remember.
There's an animal.
You guys are talking about your iconic Christmas movies.
Yeah, no, this is a ski selection. This is not me.
I don't know what he's talking about with a moose. Are you talking about
the other? There's an actor in that movie, and his other famous movie, he goes to a moose thing.
A moose thing.
Like an amusement park or something.
That's the all right. Yeah, Wally World. Yes.
First I got vacation. Nothing. I
first
got
vacation
nothing.
Was the moose from Wally World. I'll give him that. Then.
What are you talking about? I still have no idea what you're talking about.
That movie has another movie where he goes to an amusement park and there's a moose.
So the star of that movie is who you're talking about? Is Chevy Chase? Yes.
Chevy Chase.
Sure.
Okay.
Am I wrong?
A moose
movie? You are correct.
Thank you.
I do not know a moose movie with Chevy Chase. Which one is that?
Vacation. The original Vacation. Going to Wally World. Wally is the moose from Wally World.
All right. Yeah. Again, as you can see, I'm not a huge fan of that movie. So, Jesus. My number three is... I guess I gotta go. I'll go Muppets Christmas Carol.
Yeah. Do you watch Christmas movies?
King left again, by the way.
Come back.
He's back. Right.
You into Muppets, King?
Are they the Fraggle Rock people?
They're the people who made Fraggle Rock, yes.
Okay.
Muppet
like Fraggle Rock.
Muppet Christmas Carol. Is my number three.
How like, there wasn't more spin-offs of Fraggle Rock.
Yeah. Weren't they talking about bringing it back? Talking about Fraggle Rock.
Trying to bring everything back. I'm trying to reboot everything.
Yeah. I mean, you can't, like, if you're not the Hensons, you can't reboot anything that was a Henson thing because nobody else makes puppets for TV shows or movies. So, I don't know. All right, let's see. What's your two, Ski?
My two will be Bad Santa.
Good selection. Have you seen that, Kay?
Unfortunately.
You don't like that one?
Yeah, that's the Tim Allen vehicle, right?
No.
Where he's the bad father, but they find out there's a clause.
No.
Santa Claus.
I see what you're doing.
No, that's not the right one.
It took me a second, but I see what you're doing now. No, that's incorrect. All right, so you got to pick your number two now. You have to pick one movie because your three and your one have already been selected for you. Your number three was Ernest Saves Christmas, by the way.
Oh, you know what I mean, Bird? I know that one. I do know that one.
That was a good choice by me.
He also goes to camp.
Yeah,
in jail.
He definitely goes to jail.
What was my number one?
The Grinch.
Oh, he was a mean one.
Mm-hmm. Kind of an asshole.
Yeah. My number two Christmas movie of all time is...
Looking around to see if he can find a Christmas movie.
Die Hard.
There you go.
I was going to give you a good...
Schwarzenegger flicks.
God damn it.
I was going to give you a real good number two also, King, before you came back.
Which one?
Have you guys seen the trailer to the new one with Mel Gibson called
Fat Man? The Fat Man.
Oh, yeah, man.
I was going to give you the Fat Man.
There you go.
if watching a Mel Gibson vehicle in 2020 was worth catching COVID, I would have so gone and seen it.
Oh, my God. Yeah, my number two is also Die Hard, actually. Oddly enough.
I'm going to change my number two since you guys are using the, you know, the whole argument of is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes, it is.
All right, well, I'm going to change my number two to Lethal Weapon then. Because that has about as much to do with Christmas as Die Hard does.
If it's set around Christmas or has Christmas stuff in it, like, it can be a Christmas movie.
I'm changing my number two.
Okay. Good.
Die Hard, get out of here.
Yeah, it's done.
Gremlins.
Exactly. Perfect.
Yes. Yes. See, now you're thinking. Now you're putting some effort into this list. It's paying off. It's paying off for you, isn't it?
I love Christmas movies.
Don't you feel good about that selection?
I do.
Yeah, exactly.
Ernest, Fat Man, and Gremlins. I mean, what more do you need there?
What are we doing here? This is perfect. What's your one, Ski?
My number one is Trading Places.
It's a good movie.
That is a great movie. It's barely a Christmas movie also, but
yeah. Isn't that like a home decorating show on like A&E or something, or like these swipe wives or something?
Man, that's Trading Spaces and you know it. stop kidding around like you don't know the title of that show. Stop it. Come on.
Is that the show that, and we're going back, did there used to be a spicy redheaded female host on that show? Or am I getting my A&E shows mixed up?
I don't know. I got nothing.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, look it up. So it's to me now, right? Because King's number one is The Grinch. Unless you want to switch that up.
I think Trading Spaces is now his number one.
I'll say, though, your lady picked The Grinch, so if you go back on it, we might have a domestic dispute to talk about next week.
I am right, though. Okay. The original host of Trading Spaces was Paige Davis, who is definitely a spicy redhead.
All right.
Places, spaces, I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, you knew the answer. My number one is The Ref. The Dennis Leary movie.
It's Leary.
Yeah, Leary and Kevin Spacey.
I don't think Dennis Leary's ever had something that he's done be placed in the top one of anything.
Well, wasn't his Fireman show was really popular for a while, right?
Yeah, I think mostly because it was like one of the very early like edgy things that was actually on TV.
Yeah,
it was super edgy because he just came out and was like, "Hey, fucking fuck, smoking cigarettes over here. We got a fire. Oh my gosh, so edgy. I'm so tense."
You throw Boston in it, and it's just like instantly edgy.
My wife is mad at me. Yeah. We'll fight a fire.
I love that your accent was a chick from Boston. That was great. All right. So that's it. That's our Christmas list.
By the way, number one holiday ever, it's the 4th of July. It's not the big three.
Interesting. Interesting take. It depends. I might put 4th of July above Halloween. If I were given the choice. It depends on the year, though. Because sometimes, like, Halloween smashes out. Like, sometimes you go to, like, a kick-ass party. Like, you know, whatever. It's good times. And sometimes 4th of July sucks. Like, you know, sometimes it's like this year where you can't do, like, you just, nothing comes up. Like, maybe you got a barbecue you go to. Barbecue is just so-so. Fireworks are the same every year, so, you know, totally depends on the year. But I would say Christmas and Thanksgiving are pretty, like, those are a lock if we're doing holidays. But we're not doing a holiday list, so.
Can you get a tan and eat a hot dog while drinking a Corona Light outside on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Not here.
Not here. You can. No.
You can't.
Yes, you can. You absolutely can. Like half of the earth. Probably what more. Probably more thanks to global warming.
What other holidays do you do keg stands and then go drop some dingers in some wiffle ball games?
You're not wrong.
Slapping whiff dongs.
Yep, exactly.
You're not wrong. Hey, I'm up for a debate, but not here.
All right.
Because we're not doing that list here. All right, do we have anything else sports related before we do trivia?
I got our the final picks.
Let's hear them.
I was going to say, like, do we have picks? Are we doing bowl picks? Is that what's happening?
No, we're not doing fucking bowl picks. No.
You didn't give us any spreads this week, so that's why I didn't bring it up.
Well, one, the Pac-12 is playing in, like, two bowls, so.
Yeah. Everybody else opted out.
Yeah, I'm not about to do a lot of the fucking bowls that are going out right now, so fuck it. We're done. Season's done for the picks. So.
Oh yeah, so we gotta give us like our final tally. So who gets the box of shirts, right?
For the week last week, both of you guys got 4 points. I got 3 points.
You were in the lead, weren't you?
So that means I was in the lead by two, so that means I win all the t-shirts.
You get to keep your shirts.
I get to keep you guys got a handful of them. I think you got like three or four coming your way, Braga.
Yeah.
You got at least one or two. So
yeah. By the way, if anybody listening wants to get a shirt from us, if you come up with a good reason to come on here with us, we'll probably let you do it and give you a shirt.
If you want a shirt, I will give you a street intersection, and I will hang the shirt
from a tree.
Or from something. You can just come pick it up.
We got to make them earn these street agent shirts.
Well, yeah, I'm going to put them in random spots, and you can just come grab it.
I like that.
Wasn't like Tony Hawk. Doesn't Tony Hawk do that, where he's like, come find my board, you know, and he puts a picture of it.
I like that.
I got some Patty Mills swag when he was a Blazer.
Did you?
He would just be like, I'm driving down to the U of O campus, and I'm dropping stuff off at wherever and wherever. And I got a couple shirts that way. They were pretty sick.
Nice.
Patty was dope, man.
He was. Somehow, he's still in the league. Good for him.
Yeah, he's killing it. Yeah, he's a three-point machine. Specialist. By the way, Portland losing by 21 at the half to Utah. So, nice start to the season, boys.
Good home opener.
Utah is better. So, it is what it is. Like, they played the Nuggets two games in a row in the preseason. The Nuggets are a better basketball team. Like, there's a reason they lost.
Lillard 0 points in the first half. You're not going to win too many games.
Yeah, that's true. He should probably not play terrible. All right, so we are doing Christmas movie trivia. So we're going to give Ski a shot here.
Considering King says he's never watched a Christmas movie, so.
And be ready.
No, I knew about the one.
Yeah.
Santa Claus.
Be ready for the, like, next week with the bowl trivia, because we're going to do some Iowa State trivia next week. Is the answer Seneca Wallace?
Marcus Fizer, Jamal Tinsley. I'm done.
There you go. End of list.
I still have a big bone to pick with Iowa State basketball, especially.
Should we save it, or do you just want to – do you got to get it off your chest right now?
It's more of I had them in all my brackets to make it to the – I am winning it in two and, like, in the finals and the other two. And they got bumped in the – I think it was the first round as a two seed.
I got to tell you, man, that sounds like a you problem. Sounds like you make terrible brackets.
I mean, I personally had Hampton State in that game, so I don't know.
Of course, who didn't have Hampton State?
I mean, you apparently.
Yeah. While we're on that topic, fuck fantasy football, man. Like,
I love me some fantasy football.
My team was so good. I'm in two leagues this year. I was number one in the league in both leagues. Had a bye first week of the playoffs. Lost my first game, both games last week. Fantastic. I had common denominators, Juju Smith-Schuster and Keenan Allen. Neither of which did anything. Fantastic. All right, so Christmas movie trivia. I'm going to let Ski start. What is the name of the dog in How the Grinch Stole Christmas? Oh. King's going to know this one. Because the Grinch is his number one
movie. I think I know it.
All right, hang on.
I don't know it.
All right, your options. I'm going to give you your options. Jack, Max, or Miles? Are you Googling? What are you doing?
Me?
Yeah, it's to you.
Oh, me? Oh, it's Max.
Yes, it is.
Sorry, I was...
Let me just get this right head. Here ready.
For yeah. All right, King. In Home Alone, where was the family going when they accidentally left him home?
Boy, I'm gonna say Paris.
Yes.
Because Kevin is what the French called les incompétents.
Les incompétents. Good shit, man. Apparently you have seen a lot of Christmas movies.
It's not a Christmas movie. Home Alone is a movie about negligent parents and robbers.
Yeah.
It's just cold out.
It's a movie. It's a movie about a home invasion.
Yes. It's an ADT commercial, really.
Yeah. No, I see that. All right, Ski. In A Christmas Story, what is the gift that Ralphie gets from his aunt? That he hates.
Sweater socks. Sweater socks. Sweater.
Incorrect. Your options, King. A leg lamp, a pink bunny onesie, or a stuffed cat?
A pink bunny onesie.
That is correct.
God, you give me like the movies I don't watch.
Apparently so. All right, so this is King again. King, Bad Santa was...
But are we sure A Christmas Story is a Christmas movie? Are we sure?
Let's put it to Twitter. At Jeromey, if you think A Christmas Story is a Christmas movie. All right, so let's see. King, Bad Santa was the last movie appearance for this actor who died 2 months before the movie was released.
I'm going to say Bernie Mac.
Incorrect.
Oh,
your options, Ski, are Bernie Mac, John Ritter, or Cloris Leachman.
I'll go John Ritter.
Yep.
I really would have said Bernie Mac too.
Miss Parker, Miss Parker.
So good.
I don't remember John Ritter in that movie though.
He was like the manager that was like, I was like,
yeah.
You know, like,
he was like his boss. Exactly that. All right, Ski, in the movie Jingle All the Way, what was the toy that Arnold fought to get for his son?
Stupid fucking robot, probably.
Yes, see. I bet you that was marketed very well.
Yeah. Stupid fucking robot. Ooh. Not the answer. Weird.
It'd be.
Oh, man. All right, King, your options. Radioactive Man, Turbo Man action figure, or a super mega car?
I'm going to say a Turbo Man action figure.
Yeah, correct.
Oh.
So pretty much I was correct.
4-1.
Fucking robot.
They all fall under that category, so I guess, yeah, I guess so. All right, King. In which fictional town does It's a Wonderful Life take place?
Plattsville.
No.
Mudsville.
Ski, your options. Bedford Falls, Langley Falls, or Paradise Falls?
Fucking Paradise Falls.
Incorrect. It is Bedford Falls. All right, Ski. What does John McClane
one? Not that movie.
Say
it's a Wonderful Life.
What about it?
Is that the black and white, the really old movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have never seen it.
Yes. Yeah.
I've also never seen Miracle on 34th Street. Never seen that one.
Here's the thing, is I don't like Christmas movies at all.
Interesting. Well, it's got to depend on the one, right?
Well, like, the ones I really listed weren't, they're right. Not really Christmas movies.
Well, what about this one? What does John McClane, this is for you, Ski. What does John McClane write on the sweater of one of the henchmen after he kills him to send a message to Hans Gruber in Die Hard?
Oh, God.
Writes it in blood on his shirt.
And it said, pretty sure it says, ho, ho, ho.
That's part of it.
Motherfuckers?
No. Your options, and I'm going to leave the ho, ho, ho out of it. I'm just going to give you the rest of it. So, King, your options. Welcome to the party, pal. Now I have a machine gun, or yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
Yippee-ki-yay, motherfucker.
That is incorrect. I feel like you just gave that one to Ski.
Maybe.
It is now I have a machine gun. Yep. Ho, ho, ho. All right, three more questions. So, King, which real person from history did Gonzo portray in Muppet Christmas Carol? He's an author. I'll give you a hint.
Ernest Hemingway.
Incorrect. Your options, Ski. Charles Dickens, William Shakespeare, or Ben Franklin?
Charles Dickens, that's my, yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
The guy who wrote this story.
Yeah, right.
Christmas Carol. Makes sense.
Sure.
All right, Ski. In Batman Returns, Selina Kyle, alter ego of Catwoman, played by Michelle Pfeiffer, worked as an administrative assistant to Max Schreck, played by this actor.
With Tommy Lee Jones?
No. That is the third Batman movie you're thinking of. This is the second Batman movie, the Tim Burton one. Your options, King. Christopher Walken, Ed Begley Jr., or Michael Caine?
Michael Caine.
I'm Michael Caine.
Christopher Walken?
That is correct.
Just so I can say, the watch. Watch.
And that means you won, by the way. Christmas movie trivia. Won by the guy who doesn't like
Christmas. I think Kane has secretly seen way more Christmas movies than I have.
I've never seen them.
Yeah, and you got your lady in on the lie, too. Jeez. What are we doing here? All right, I had one more question, so let's just throw it in there. In National Lampoon's A Christmas Vacation, what did Clark receive as a Christmas bonus from his work?
The Jelly of the Month Club?
Yeah, 1 year membership to the Jelly of the Month Club, which I've been seeing that go around a lot this week regarding the $600 COVID relief check we're about to get. By the way, our president coming through trying to get us $2,000. I'll take
I have enjoyed the memes of the $600 check, you know, like in physical form. Yeah. And it's like an 8-ounce thing of, you know, Dr. Beckner and the tiniest slice of like Little Caesar's pizza. Pizza party!
Yeah, the 1/30th of a slice cut out of
the Yeah, the smallest slice ever. What was Hedberg's joke about that? It'd be the give it to charity slice or something like that. All right. So that's it. Happy Christmas to you and yours or something.
Absolutely. And yeah.
What do you guys got planned? Anything fun?
Just keeping it low key.
Getting together with the whole family, not wearing masks. bringing family in from Arizona. That kind of thing. People coming in from Florida.
Got that family from Tampa flying right in.
Yeah, Florida's perfectly safe. It should be fine. Yeah. We are going to my dad's house this year and sitting in his driveway. wearing masks, getting warm. He has like one of those little fire pit, portable fire pit things.
Yeah.
We're going to make s'mores on Christmas morning.
Hey.
I hope you like dealing with like 30 degree and probably damp out. It's going to be fucking
cold. I know. I'm ready for it. I got my snow gear all set. Like, we're going to be fine.
You know what people are talking about much here with like this whole Christmas COVID thing is what's happened to all the poor Jewish families that, you know, they go out for Chinese food and stuff on. They can't go out for dinner now.
I mean, you can get it delivered.
I don't know. Kowloon's is closed.
Yeah, why are you restricting that to Jewish families?
Because that's usually what a lot of Jewish families do during Christmas. Because everyone else is fucking closed.
Yeah.
Go see a movie, get some Chinese food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'd rather have that Christmas than dealing with family and shit again after Thanksgiving. It's like, man.
I'll say the cool thing about the Christmas morning being outside is that nobody's gonna want to be there very long. Right. And there so it's go. Like we're gonna do the s'mores, we're gonna hustle through presents, and we're gonna get the fuck out of there.
But on a random note,
great to see you. Air hug. I'm going home.
Are you guys picking up all the background noise from my computer?
I don't hear anything.
No. Okay. Just not really. Yeah. Just wondering because Erica was carefully cutting and, you know, doing all this stuff, and then she put in earphones and started listening to music, and all of a sudden it was clang, clang, cut, cut.
No, man, she's good.
All right.
By the way, made an appearance in the podcast.
Right.
So I think we're your youngest son away from getting the whole squad.
Yeah, he's got to figure that out.
He's got to earn that, right?
He's got to earn that one.
Yeah. By the way, we should bring Cade back around here.
Oh, he wants no part of it.
Just to at least say what up. Because all the episodes he was on back in the day when he couldn't even really talk then, could he?
No.
Yeah. Good shit, man. All right, guys. Have a good one.
All right, before we leave, I just want to say, shout out to Charles in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Longtime listener, good dude, going through some stuff.
Really good dude, yeah.
Hopefully you pull through it all, man. And, have a good holiday or whatever.
I have had several deep, in-depth conversations with that guy. He is a really good dude. So, right back.
Indeed.
I echo everything you just said. Like, really awesome guy. Thinking about you, bud. Merry Christmas, guys.